This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Adam Kaufman, iHeartRadio Boston, will join us. We will talk week one NFL, Packers-Eagles Friday night, get his best bets for week one. And I think last time we had Adam on was right before the NBA Finals, and he gave us Boston in five, too. He was very adamant and had a lot of conviction that the Celtics were not only going to win it, but win it in five. So we'll see if he can shell out a few more winners. And I'll get to my thoughts on college football and my NFL picks, college picks. Kind of a dead week in college. This happens a lot in week two, where week one is the big week. You get a bunch of marquee matchups, out-of-conference matchups. Week two, everyone kind of settles in, and sometimes you get some lesser matchups. You do get Michigan-Texas. You do get Colorado-Nebraska, both fun games. Other than that, not a lot where there's a ton of juice games you're dying to watch, but I do have a few picks in that and in the NFL. But we'll start here with the NFL, and that's just a typical NFL game where down to the wire, even though you watch most of it and you wonder if it's going to be a Chiefs runaway, and they have certain moments where they could have put the game away. Andy Reid got conservative, up 10, chance to either kick a field goal or go for it, fourth and five in plus territory. He punts, Ravens go down and score, and you're in for a long battle. And the Ravens, a toenail away from, I would say, tie the game, but they were down a touchdown and they were going to go for two and either win the game by a point or lose the game by a point. So if you're Kansas City and you laid the three, you were going to be dead either way if that was a touchdown, but it was not. And we kind of saw Lamar, the good and the bad, because he was running all over the place. And he mentioned how he lost some weight in the offseason, wants to run more. And he was certainly dynamic in the run game, but you saw the bad too, where he just missed guys left and right in that last drive. And he had a chance to really put them in the end zone, likely a couple times. Another guy wide open right over the middle, he missed them. He's just inaccurate. He just doesn't have the best precision when it comes to throwing these balls. And just a very fun ending, an exciting ending, typical of the NFL. Very, very on brand here for the NFL, where every game seems like it comes down to the last drive, the last play. That being said, fun to have it back, fun ending, way too many penalties. You can't throw 9 million penalty flags, illegal formations all over the place, refs trying to put their stamp on the game. Hockley, whose dad was a big-time ref, he's always on he loves being on the camera. He throws a million penalties. It did make it tough to watch at times, where it's just flag after flag after flag. It really hurts the viewing quality of the game. And we'll see if they continue to call these illegal formations. I know sometimes they have certain rules they want to emphasize, and the first couple of weeks, they'll just throw the flag time after time. But after, you know, week four, week five, usually that stuff dies down. So that's something to keep an eye on as they just continue to throw flag after flag. It was just too much. 9 million penalties. It was hard to watch at times, but fun ending. I mentioned on the show the other day, Xavier Worthy, there was going to come a time very early in the game where the rest of the league said, man, how did we let Xavier Worthy go to the Chiefs? So dynamic, so fast. And we saw that a couple times. He ran into touchdown. He had another receiving touchdown, two touchdowns for Worthy. And that kind of played out according to plan. And the game went over depending on where you bet it, because there were some 46.5, there were some 47. So you should have at least gotten a push, if not a win. And the Chiefs get the cover. And I guess it's the deserved cover. And if you're the Ravens, man, I was a toenail away from covering that spread. And if you're the Ravens, not to overreact, because it's only one game, you lose at the Chiefs, it's a game you're not supposed to win, but you better beat the Raiders next week, and they do host the Raiders next week. Because after that, at the Cowboys, then the Bills, then at the Bengals, I mean, you could be looking at like a 1-4, 2-3 start. And in the AFC, especially with the Bengals in your division, if Burrow's healthy and their schedule, where they get the Panthers, the Titans, the Patriots in their, you know, out of conference games, just because they finished in last place and you don't get those games. Meanwhile, they also get the Raiders, the Commanders, and the Giants. You could put yourself in an early hole, and Cincy could get off to a good start. That Cincy Baltimore game in a couple weeks could be a huge game, and Baltimore could be in trouble. Even though it's only one game, it's a game they could have easily, look, if they another inch or two, they're going for two to win the game, and we're having a completely different conversation. I get that, but things could get ugly here for Baltimore. Things could get dicey just because of the early schedule. Again, home versus the Raiders, you better win that, because at Cowboys, Bills, and Bengals, that is a troublesome start, or a potentially troublesome start here for a Baltimore team with high expectations. So fun game. Way too many penalties, but as Mahomes and Andy Reid often do, they find a way to win the game, and they are now 1-0. As we start to look into some of these other games, the Friday night game, Packers-Eagles, Eagles laying around 2, total 49. Nothing strong for me. My strongest play would be the over, just because I think the Eagles have some issues in the secondary. Green Bay is a good passing game. Meanwhile, Green Bay's weakness last year was the run defense, and Philly can run it with Hurts. Now with Barkley, a good offensive line. So to me, yeah, I could see like a 27-24 last team with the ball kind of game. I would lean towards Philly winning the game. I think Green Bay's on a teaser is a good idea to pair with, you know, the Cowboys or the Texans or some of these other teams. But I do like the over in this game. As far as the other games on Sunday, I've talked about it in previous episodes. I like Minnesota over the Giants. I just think Minnesota is a much better roster than the Giants roster. Without Barkley now, they have Neighbors. They have a good coach in Daboll, but they do not have much else. And the Vikings have a good coaching staff. And Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator, loves to blitz. He loves to bring blitzes from all over the place. That combination of his blitz packages against Daniel Jones behind a bad offensive line is a recipe for disaster. So I like Minnesota. And another game I like, under 42, Pittsburgh-Atlanta. These are two conservative coaches. If it's fourth and two at midfield, you know, a lot of these coaches now will go for it. I think both these coaches, Raheem Morris and Tomlin, are happy to punt and try to pin you at your own six and play the field position game. Arthur Smith's a conservative coach, likes to run the ball. Tomlin likes to run it. And for Atlanta, you have Cousins, who's 36, 37, coming off an Achilles here, going against a pretty good pass rush of Pittsburgh. He hasn't played a lot. And Wilson's a good under quarterback because he's going to take care of the ball, but I don't think he's going to really move the ball. So to me, that's an ugly, you know, 19-18, 20-17 type of game. I like under Pittsburgh and Atlanta. So those are my picks for the NFL. College real quickly before we get to Adam. Notre Dame with a really good win against Texas A&M on the road. SEC team, physical game. Now they're at home laying 4 touchdowns. I'm sure they came home and, you know, heard about how they're just going to the playoffs. Easy schedule. Nobody's going to beat you. You're going undefeated. To me, this is a trap game for Notre Dame. Now, Northern Illinois is not good enough to beat them, I wouldn't think. But Northern Illinois did put up 700 yards of offense last week against the Cupcake in Western Carolina. They got some good skill guys. So to me, this is just a letdown spot. I will take the 28 with Northern Illinois. And the big game of the weekend is Texas-Michigan. I like the under here, under 42.5. I just think Michigan, if you have any path to winning this game, they certainly don't have the same offense they've had in past years. It's run the ball, run it some more, play good defense, and hope to steal a possession along the way. So to me, that's another under game where Michigan is just going to be an under team because they just don't have a good offense, but they're still pretty good on defense. So that should be that's the game of the day. It's always weird when the game of the day is on at noon because you watch that and you're like, all right, what's on the rest of the day? Not a lot else after that, although we do get Nebraska, Colorado. And I've been down on this Colorado team. I think they're an under team. I thought North Dakota State could have beaten them last week, should have beaten them last week. That being said, there are some 7.5s out there. I would take Colorado in the spot just because I think with their passing game, with Sanders, with Horn, with Hunter, even if you're down 10 or 14 late, the back door will be open. And I don't know if Nebraska is ready to be laying 7.5 in a marquee game like this. So not a great college week, but hey, if you're a football fan, you can't complain because you got an NFL game Friday night, all the games on Saturday with college, and then Sunday at 1 o'clock, it all begins with the NFL, and then a good Monday night game, Jets and 49ers. So a lot of football this weekend. We'll get back to the baseball here in a couple days, and the Yankees in Baltimore looks like it's headed for a photo finish. John Sterling, by the way, coming out of retirement to call the playoffs and call Yankees ball. That is rough for the incumbent announcer. I think it's Shackle. It's not that good, by the way, but you know, if you're Shackle, you think, all right, Sterling's out of the way. This is my time to call Yankee baseball. And then Sterling says, you know what? I'm actually going to come back. That's a rough deal, but Yankees and Orioles looking like it's coming down to the wire. Yankees just can't get out of their own way. Can't hold on to leads. Bullpen's a mess, but they do get Heel back. They do get Schmidt back in terms of the pitchers. The rest of the races, the NL wildcard's good. The rest of the division races are pretty much spoken for. So we will keep an eye on baseball as NFL arrives here. We're not going to ignore the baseball. But coming up next, it is Adam Kaufman, Boston iHeartRadio. That is next. This is the Should've Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should've Bet More podcast. Week one is here. We'll talk some Friday night football. By the time you're listening, this game one is in the books of the NFL season. And he is back. He's Adam Kaufman. You can catch him iHeartRadio, The Gambler with Adam Kaufman. Adam, It is football season. Are you excited? Are you ready? What's going on, man?
Listen, man, I don't know how many people you had to ask, how many no's that you received for me to be here on the precipice of week one, but I am excited. This is great, man. As you know, this is the happiest time of the year and also the busiest, which probably makes us just like, you know, totally deranged. We know we're all degenerates. You know, I'm sure the people out there listening to your show are just full on immersed in gambling Vegas at their fingertips on their phones all the time. But you know, it's wild. Like we should probably appreciate summer a little bit more. Instead, we bitch and moan and complain about having to bet baseball and the little else that there is. Now football's back and we're just going full on 7 days a week through, you know, mid-February, and I'm here for it.
Absolutely. It is a little strange to talk about a Friday night football game. I can remember, I think it was the year of Katrina. It was like 2005. I don't know if that's why there were some games that was rescheduled, like a Chiefs game. I remember, or trying to think of who it was, but there was a Friday night game a while back. Anyway, we got one tonight, Eagles and Packers. Eagles laying 2, total 49. Do you have anything in this game?
So I am inclined to go with Philadelphia covering the short spread. Now, I think very highly of both these teams. As a matter of fact, on my show, we gave out the Packers at 18-1 to win the Super Bowl as one of just a few Super Bowl picks. So I do like Green Bay, and I like the value there in that number going into the season, obviously. But I just really have high expectations for Philadelphia, maybe learning a couple of lessons off of that meltdown last year. Let's not forget, this is a team that did start last year 10-1 before completely imploding and rolling over in every way imaginable. Jalen Hurts was dealing with a bunch of injuries as well. He's healthy and has an incredible core around him. You know, you look at, obviously, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Dallas Goedert, and all those weapons in the receiving game. And now you put in Saquon Barkley, who is playing behind the best offensive line that he's ever had. He's going to have the best offense in terms of caliber of talent that he's probably ever played with. I mean, maybe some of those earlier Giants teams, but this is if DeAndre Swift could do what he did last year, rushing for 1,000 yards, you think about what Barkley is capable to do of doing within this offense. And so as much respect as I do have for Jordan Love in the second half of the season last year, and obviously that great playoff game against the Cowboys, and some of the younger, somewhat inconsistent in terms of the injuries players that are in that lineup offensively, I just think the Philly is the better team. And to me, the number is wrong. The number is too short, and I'm going to try and take advantage of it.
Yeah, and I'm looking as you're talking here. 2005, it was the Chiefs, the Dolphins. I guess the Dolphins got relocated for a game because of Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. And I Googled it, and all Friday games in the history of NFL popped up. It's actually been like a dozen. Kind of forget, and it's different. Last year, it was the Black Friday game, Jets and Dolphins, sure, which is going to be a thing now. But definitely unusual to have it on Friday. Any props you like? Any, I don't know, have you noticed just in general these, like, touchdown score or first touchdown score, these markets are not as appetizing as they used to be?
That's never been a particularly appetizing market to me anyway. You know, I just think, you know, some of these plays, and obviously you're rewarded for it in terms of the odds. I get why people chase these darts, but it's, you know, it's like trying to hit a home run parlay. You know, it's immensely difficult. You need a ton of luck. There are the people that are maybe better than others or luckier than others when it comes to reading game scripts and saying that, okay, over the course of a season, you know, this team has a propensity of scoring on its first drive, or at least getting down inside the 20, and maybe it stalls out and has a field goal. But they've, you know, you can look for patterns. You can look at history. You could say, okay, like Christian McCaffrey is a great first touchdown play or something like that, even though he would, by comparison, have shorter odds. I just think, you know, I don't know. There's nothing safe. There's nothing free. We learn that all the time in gambling, but I think that there are some plays that, while the odds aren't the same, are, you know, maybe a little bit more reliable, if nothing. Like, I would, if I think a guy is going to score, you know, whoever, like, let's say I think Jalen Hurts is going to rush for a touchdown. I would rather take the Hurts anytime touchdown and figure he's going to get in there at some point versus the Hurts, you know, first touchdown. I don't need to go chasing those odds and then get pissed off because he scores second. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. And in the numbers, I can remember years ago, like these quarterbacks, some of them that aren't runners, they'd be like, 30-1, 40-1, 50-1. You just don't get those numbers anymore. And look, it's just there's more eyes on these markets. They know people. It appeals to people because for a couple of reasons. It's bet a little to win a lot, and it's instant gratification where you could cash that in the first 5 minutes, the first 8 minutes. So they just shrink all these numbers. Last time you were on, I think it was right before the NBA Finals, and I think I owe you some kudos because you I think picked Celtics in like five. I think you nailed it right on the head. And if you didn't, just pretend that you didn't. We'll go with it. But I know you were very confident.
I don't understand all those national people trying to talk themselves into the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Please, whatever. This is a football show now.
Yes. But you also, we talked Patriots at that point, and you were more optimistic than the market on the Patriots. You said, hey, schedule's not that bad. Defense was good. Has your mind changed with the training camp and some of the injuries, the trades? Are you still, where are you at here with the Patriots?
Yeah, I don't see how it couldn't have evolved a little bit. If you are listening and you're a Patriots fan, I know we're a couple New Englanders anyway, so maybe some people listening out here are Pats fans. Like you said, when the schedule came out, I looked at it, did that whole game by game thing and thought, all right, I mean, 5-6 wins, I think is very realistic. And so for the over-under to be sitting at 4.5, which I never bet, by the way, but it was something that I looked at and I thought, it's an appropriate line. I think there's maybe just a smidge of disrespect toward the Patriots. I think they can clear this number. I think they can get a couple surprise wins. You've got some soft teams in there. I think this is doable. But, things change over time, obviously, to where, as you alluded to, one, we don't know if the defense is going to be as good as it has been the last couple of years under Bill Belichick, now under Gerard Mayo, simply because we don't know his ability to coach up a defense as the head coach. That's just part of it. But then you start to talk about personnel. Matt Judon, gone, traded away after that contract dispute. Christian Barmore, one of their other top defenders, unavailable potentially the entire season because of the blood clot issue. And obviously, hopefully, he heals up, first and foremost. And if he can play football again, great. I'm sure he wants to. But this defense is really talent deficient in terms of, name recognition anyway. Arguably just as bad, if not more so, than the offense, which is a crazy thing to say. But you look at that offense, and against Jacoby Brissett, this offensive line looks a hell of a lot worse than I think people would have even expected after a, albeit small, preseason sample versus what we were talking about those months ago. And so you cobble all that together. You look at the fact that Vegas has New England as, the longest odds to win the Super Bowl after 20 plus years of probably having the shortest lines. Now, the longest odds, even longer than the Carolina Panthers, I think, to win the championship. They're going to be firmly in the conversation, at least entering the year, as having the worst record in the league. They're a team that, is at least a preseason underdog in all 17 games. It's going to be hard for them to get to that over. So yeah, if I were to bet it now, and I'm still not going to, I just don't want to, but if I were going to, if you're asking me like, where's the smart money, it probably is on the under 4.5 at this point.
Are most Patriot fans confident that things are going in the right direction? Hey, we'll take our lumps for a year, but May's going to be good. We got our guy in Mayo. Or is there some skepticism that the crafts know what they're doing here and this is going to get turned around?
You are hilarious. How could there possibly be any optimism about the way that they have just blundered this thing, not just in the last few months, but for years, man? I mean, Bill Belichick, who I love, I'm grateful to him for obviously all the years of dominance that the Patriots enjoyed, but there's no mystery that the guy was a considerably better coach than he was a general manager. And they have, been drafting poorly for in excess of a decade at this point in time. I mean, this was an issue, when Tom Brady was still here. You fast forward to the end of the Brady era when he left in 2020. There was no plan whatsoever for life after Brady, which to me, like, if you're looking for any indictment, any shock for me personally, I thought, I'm not saying I assumed like the dynastic run was just going to continue from Brady to the next guy. I mean, not all teams have like a, Montana to Young or Rodgers to Favre to Love or Love, you know what I mean? Roger, What the hell?
It's not always that easy to just hand it down.
I mean, you know the order, but it's crazy that they had no plan after Tom Brady to the point where they had to get Cam Newton off the scrap heap and then just got it wrong and shattered the confidence of Mac Jones. And now, like you said, it's the next guy in Drake May, who most people don't want to see the field anytime soon, simply because you're worried about that offensive line getting him killed. Like, go out and use Jacoby Brissett as a crash test dummy, not Drake May, the guy that you used with the third overall pick. And so we'll see, you know, ultimately what it does look like. I do think we're going to see May at some point this year. Heaven forbid it's in the first month of the season. I think it should be more of a midseason thing at the earliest. But you know, things can change in a hurry. If he comes in and looks the way in real games against real players and looks the way that he did in the preseason, and then, you know, a couple of those younger guys that they have drafted, Polk, you know, I don't know how much the other guy's going to play, but Polk, you know, if he is good, if Pop Douglas takes another step, if they look like they maybe have some good young talent in terms of receivers, which they haven't had in a long time. And then obviously Ramondre Stevenson, and the defense is doing what it's done the last couple of years. And all of a sudden there are just signs. And I don't mean flirting with a playoff spot or anything like that, but just signs that they're heading in the right direction. Then yeah, it'll absolutely alter the mood around here. But right now they're looking like a team that's going to have a top five pick again.
Anything you're doing with this game on Sunday here, Bengals laying 8.5 to the Patriots, our buddy Ian Eagle on the call there. Anything you like in this game?
So I think that, you know, a lot of people have been talking survivor pools. How do you not go with the Bengals? Obviously, I think that largely depends on the size of your pool and how much strategy you want to put involved in it. You know, you got other appealing options. Seahawks stand out as one, obviously, if you were looking to save the Bengals for a little bit later. But if you're in a smaller office friend pool, whatever, 30 people or something like that, how do you not go with the Bengals? I absolutely think Cincinnati is going to win this game. I would include them in multiple money line winner parlays, that type of thing. I'm a little less enthused by laying the 8.5 points. Although if you were to say to me, are they going to cover? What's your gut tell you? Yeah, I think this is a double digit win for Cincinnati. Absolutely. And I also would go with the under, because I don't necessarily think it's going to be a complete and total, like, you know, 30-13 blowout type of thing. I think the defense will be somewhat respectable for New England. And as far as the Pats offense goes, I just don't know where the points come from, man. I mean, short of like turnovers leading to mistakes, that sort of thing. So I think the under is the play. I think the total's a little bit too high. It's why you're seeing so many people on that 47.5.
Yep, absolutely. Anything else for week one you like? What's your favorite week one play?
So I mentioned this to a couple people earlier, and I'm curious as to your thoughts. The game that it was the first game that I bet on. It's the game that I keep like doubling down on. I'm going to be, you know, a really happy guy Sunday, or really, really pissed off because I just don't understand the line. And I think this is just such a great spot. That's the Houston Texans, albeit in Indianapolis, laying 2.5. You know, you're going to give me CJ Stroud coming off the year that he had, and he's fully healthy, with a reloaded offense that already had Tank Dell, Nico Collins. You've added Stephon Diggs, who's out to prove something to people after the way things ended in Buffalo, and they're inside a field goal, 2.5 points. I want your thoughts. Like, am I seeing this wrong? I don't see how Houston doesn't win this game going away.
Didn't play. I would say, like, I get where you're coming from. It's just, you know, these teams met the last time the Colts played a game. Remember that final game of the season last year, week 18, that Saturday night game, and the Colts had them beat. I mean, it's just one game, but the Colts had them beat with Minshew. They missed Taylor on an open throw. I have too much respect for Steichen. I don't want to land, and it's three in a lot of spots. I'm not opposed to it. I'm just higher on the Colts, I think. I'm worried the Texans are a little too trendy, a little too sexy here, but I certainly see where you're coming from.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, obviously. I mean, I get it. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time I'm wrong if that's the way it plays out, but I hope to be right, obviously. Nobody wants to start off week one on a down note. You know, you don't want to start like clawing back immediately in week two. Although what's funny about that, I don't know about you, more as many games as I do like, and there are a few in week one, I feel like I've already started to turn more of my attention to betting on week two. It feels like such a dangerous thing because you don't know what, you know, injuries could obviously happen in week one. But there are some really enticing spots there.
Yeah, and I meant to look at this, and maybe I'll check it out in a minute. Can you parlay week one with week two? Because, hey,
I
I'm down
did.
on the Steelers, or I'm high on this team.
Yeah.
I'll just, that's super correlated. I mean, think about Florida State and college football. If you were just, you had some conviction, some premonition, hey, I don't think Florida State's going to be good. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to parlay Georgia Tech, who they play in week zero, with Boston College, who they play in week one. Then if they're as bad as I think, that parlay is very correlated, and that might be a way to approach it if these books let you do that.
No, you can. Definitely on a couple. I think I've done it on, I know I've done it on Fanatics. I think I've maybe done it on FanDuel as well. It's just, games are games, right? As long as they're listed, you can bet on them. So I don't remember all the parlays off the top of
Yeah.
my head, but I mean, I've got, the Bengals money line. I think I've got both the Ravens and Niners in week two. There are multiple spots that I've put together that I like a lot.
Who'd you pick for the Super Bowl? Do you have a Super Bowl pick?
So I just mentioned San Francisco, and it's chalky in many ways. They're, either co-favorites at FanDuel or, slightly second at some places. I got them at plus 625 over on Caesars last night, as a matter of fact, when we were giving out our official show Super Bowl picks. And of course, leave it to the guys that I work with to give out, plays that have some nice long odds to chase. Like one guy gave out the Rams at 30-1. Another one gave out the Packers at 18-1. And here I am giving out the plus 625 Niners. I just think that I know a lot of people want to abandon ship. I had someone say to me earlier today, like their window is closed, we're moving on. And I get it. I get it, but it's not a lack of talent or anything like that. It's just because you think that Shanahan's going to find a way to screw it up again. They keep getting there. They just keep getting there, be it the NFC Championship or obviously the Super Bowl. And I did think they would beat the Chiefs last year, as we know it didn't happen. But McCaffrey, if he's healthy, and that's the caveat with any team, any guy, obviously, but their top players, if they stay healthy, like McCaffrey could have 1,800 all-purpose yards and 25 touchdowns. Ayuk, I think, is going to go out after getting this big contract and try and make something of a statement. Debo is not quite on the wrong side of age just yet. George Kittle, I think Brock Purdy is, I'm not, I've never been like, oh, Brock Purdy should be in the MVP conversation. Like, I've never believed that. I think he is as game manager gets, but he's good at it and the record reflects it. And so, you put all that together with a solid offensive line and a great defense. I just think the Niners' time is coming. I don't see how they don't win with this core in this window.
Any conviction on who they play? Are we getting a rematch versus the Chiefs, or you have somebody else coming out of the AFC?
I don't have any real conviction on the AFC. One show that we, or a bet we did give out as a show was the Bengals to represent in the AFC, and so much of that is obviously Burrow and Chase reliant. And I do think that Chase, well, someone in Cincinnati told me last night they think he's 50-50 to play this week one game because of the hold in the contract situation. It's going to get done, if not in time for week one, at some point he's going to be out there. And Burrow, if he does stay healthy, again the caveat, I just think this team should do what it should have done last year, which is obviously get to the AFC Championship game and compete for a spot in the Super Bowl. But it's hard to look at the Chiefs and say they haven't gotten better from where they were last year,
Yeah.
which is an incredibly scary thought for a team that is looking for the first three-peat in Super Bowl era.
Sure is. Adam, this was fun. We'll hopefully do this again soon. Let everyone know where they can hear you, where they can find you.
Sure. Adam M. Kaufman on Twitter. The Gambler with Adam Kaufman is Monday to Thursday, 10 to midnight Eastern time. We podcast all the shows. You can listen live, WRKO in the Boston area, or of course, across the iHeartMedia app. And, Will Hill here is a frequent guest, so we always appreciate that, talking football, baseball, whatever else with you. And also do a bunch of shows on Sports Grid too, and occasionally on VSiN.
Adam, appreciate the time, man. We'll do this again soon. Good luck this season.
You too, bud.
All right. Thank you to Adam Kaufman, iHeartRadio. We will be back Monday. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Monday.